John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and if you want to get it ready, Ecclesiastes chapter 8. John 10 and Ecclesiastes chapter 8. The gospel is a simple thing, and yet I've found the more that I read and study the Bible, the more I read and study the Word of God, the more complicated and difficult the gospel tends to become. And if we're not careful, we will develop an intellectual, bookish Christianity, and will complicate the gospel. And God never intended for the gospel to be complicated. In fact, he warned us that Satan would try and rob us of the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. In fact, and so I believe it's a good idea sometimes just to step back from learning new and unusual things and that challenge us intellectually, and to just take our hearts and minds back to those things which caused us to fall in love with Jesus Christ in the beginning. I don't know about you. I've been saved since 1991, 34 years I think that is, and I still thrill to hear the preaching of the gospel. I've never gotten bored with it. I've never gotten tired of it. And the gospel that we preach is, first of all, that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried, and that the third day Jesus rose from the dead. You know something? I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much you've done for God. I don't care how many times you've read through the Bible. It will continue to amaze you that Christ died for your sins. When I got saved, I had a vague notion that I was a sinner, as the Holy Spirit of God was convicting my heart. And I knew that I didn't want to go to hell. I would go to hell because I was a sinner. And the only way for me, and I loved me, I didn't love the Lord, I loved me. The only way for me to get me out of hell was to call on the Lord Jesus Christ, if that's what it took. And that's the only way. Listen, if I had to jump off a roof to get out of hell, I'd have jumped off a roof. I'm just being honest with you. I didn't come to Jesus because I loved Jesus. I didn't come to Jesus because I wanted to go to heaven either. I came to Jesus because I loved me, and I didn't want to go to hell. But I'll tell you this, after all these years of reading the Bible and studying the Bible and singing the hymns and going to church and fellowshipping with God's people, here's what I found out. I am a tremendously vile and wretched sinner. My iniquity, it's beyond belief. My transgressions, they're so numerous I couldn't count them. I couldn't read a chapter in the Bible without finding out something that I've done wrong. I'll tell you today, with all the Bible study behind me and all the Bible reading behind me and all the years of preaching behind me, I'm amazed today that Christ died for my sins. I am more overwhelmed with that truth this afternoon than I've ever been at any point in my life. I know what I am. I know what I've done. I know what I'm doing, and I know what I'll continue to do. I know the weaknesses and unprofitableness of my flesh. I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. The Bible told me that. I know my heart is prone to wander. That's what the Bible says. I know the lusts that I struggled with when I first got saved, and I still struggle with. I'm amazed that God hasn't thrown me away and just forgotten about me. Amen. But Christ died for our sins. Think about that. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, you can't lose sight of that. I can now explain to you the doctrine of justification. I can explain to you the doctrine of redemption. I can explain to you what the Bible means when it says propitiation. Christ died for my sins. What a blessing. He hung on that cross for me. He bore my iniquity in his body on the cross. I tell you, I don't want to ever preach for so long. I don't want to preach so many sermons. I don't want to study so many lessons that the gospel ceases to be personal between the Lord Jesus Christ and this guy right here. Listen, the doctrine that we preach, it is not just a truth that we declare. It's not just a Bible study that we teach. It is the basis of my everlasting relationship to the Son of God. Amen. Christ died for my sins. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. What a blessing. That's not something somebody needs to hear to get saved. That's something I need to hear to stay in love with Jesus, who died for my sins. All right, so let's look at the scriptures, and then we'll pray. John chapter 10, and Jesus is speaking, and he says in verse number 17, John 10:17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." Okay, now watch this real careful. "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you had mercy upon us, all of us sinners, Lord, that you would even give your own Son to die on the cross for us. Help us, Lord, to appreciate that today, to look back and remember that it was a personal thing between the Lord and each individual here. Lord, we love you, and we pray that you'll speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Down through the centuries, members of various so-called Christian denominations have called Jews Christ killers. And they said the Jews killed their Messiah, Jesus Christ. Well, that's not true, according to the Bible. The Jew has answered in self-defense. The Romans put him to death. We didn't kill him. The Romans, they're the ones that put him on their cross. That was their system of execution. But that's not true either. Okay, Jesus Christ said, when the fullness of time has come, I will lay down my life. No one will take my life from me. No one will have to take my life from me. I came to this world to voluntarily offer myself a sacrificial payment for the sins of the world. Nobody's going to kill me because nobody's going to have to kill me. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to go to the cross and shed my precious blood for you. Nobody's going to make me do that. Nobody's going to force me to do that. Nobody's going to compel me against my will to lay down my life on that cross. I want to do it because I want to please my Father, and I want to save your soul. Jesus said, I have power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 8. Ecclesiastes 8:8. There is no man. That's pretty much all inclusive, isn't it? No man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. you and I have entered into a war. We fight for life. We fight for survival. Instinctively, man tries to stay alive. When man should no longer consciously strive to stay alive, he will unconsciously fight to stay alive. The Bible says the last enemy we will face in this world is death. And there's no discharge. You will never get out of that war, this side of heaven or this side of hell. You won't ever get out of it. But the Bible also says that we can entrust our life to the one who does have the power to keep it. Amen. And let me show you this in the book of Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter number 7. This is Stephen preaching to the Hebrew people. People who can't handle the truth, you'll see. So look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse number 54. Acts 7, 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Look, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Now that is a prayer of request right there. See, he's asking, "Lord Jesus, my spirit is obviously departing. Would you receive it, please?" That's really good. That's a really good way to die, but that's the best a man can do. That's the highest a man's ever gotten in this world, but he couldn't get any higher. Well, let's look at a little comparison here. Look at Luke 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 42. Luke 23:42. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now here's what Stephen could do. As Stephen is dying on the ground under a pelting of rocks and stones, he could say, "Lord Jesus, would you be so kind as to receive my spirit?" Jesus Christ, hanging on that cross, he said, "Father, I'm sending you my spirit. I'm sending it your way. All right, spirit, time to go." And he died. Don't you want to go to heaven? I do too. So let's see if I can do it. "Father, I'm coming right now." Wouldn't you have been shocked if it happened? I was kind of wondering what would happen too. I think I'd be a little spooked. See, you can't go to heaven. You got to wait until God comes to get you. But Jesus dismissed his spirit and sent it back to the Father. That's no good man hanging on that cross. That's no great teacher. That's no mighty prophet hanging there. That's no founder of the great religion hanging on that cross. That's one who has got power over death in the day of death. Amen. He dismissed his own spirit and sent it back to God so the Father could keep it safely for 3 days till Jesus came to take it back. Who murdered him? Who killed him? Who put him to death? Nobody did. That's not good news if that was the case. That's sad news. You know, oh, Jesus got killed. No, listen, he offered himself as sacrificial payment for our sins. Come to John chapter 19. These soldiers, man, think about these soldiers. They had to be a rough bunch back in that day. It was all hand-to-hand fighting, you know, face-to-face, sword-to-sword, spear-to-spear, fist-to-fist. Tough men. No barracks, no vehicle or any kind of transportation. They marched everywhere they had to go. Tough guys, man. Tough, hard. And you'd have to be able to finish off fellas that have been hanging on the cross so long that everybody's gotten bored and gone home. You got to admit, you'd have to be pretty hard-hearted after a few months of that job. I wouldn't want that job, you know. Guy gets home, how was your work today, honey? Oh, good. Broke 4 legs, killed 2 guys. Just an average day. I mean, think about it. Those were rough times those people were living in. The great Roman civilization. Bunch of barbarians, man. I mean, these people were rough people. And let me show you what happened. John chapter 19, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. I mean, kill the Messiah, but don't break that little rule about dead bodies on the Sabbath. That's religion, man. That's religion. They'll hate your guts, but justify it because your hair's touching your collar. That's religion. For that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. Well, the Bible says that Jesus was crucified in the midst. Isn't that right? Aren't those strange words? That fella, he comes out, and I don't know if he's using the back of his spear or if he's got a special tool to break legs or something, but he comes out to that first cross with that thief on it and breaks both of his legs, and down he goes for a quick death. But then the Bible says the next criminal whose legs were broken was the other guy who was crucified over on the other side of Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus was crucified in the midst of those two criminals. Something tells me that that guy couldn't bear to lay a hand on Jesus. He just wasn't in a hurry to lay the back of his spear to the legs of a man that he knew did not belong on that cross. And he'd seen the sun go dark. We read about that. He knew what they did to Jesus. He wasn't in a big hurry to break those legs. If he'd have known the Bible, he'd have not been so nervous. Because the scripture says in Psalm 34, verse 20, he kept all his bones. Not one of them is broken. So the Bible says in verse 33, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now hear me. He had not died of dehydration from being on the cross, as you've probably heard people teach, because water flowed out. He's not dehydrated. He had not expired because he lost all of his blood. That's another excuse, I guess. The Bible said blood flowed out. He had blood. And they marveled. They said, here's a perfect specimen of a man, big, strong, working with his hands as a carpenter all of his life, and he's already dead? They never saw that before. And this thief who's been in and out of jail all his life, and this thief over here, both of these fellows, they're still hanging in there, and we got to break their legs? And this guy in the middle is dead already? He's still full of water. He's still full of blood. I just don't get it. He's only been on the cross for hours. Man, it takes days to die on the cross. How can he be dead already? He's dead because he dismissed his spirit and went down into the heart of the earth so that he could deposit our sins there and pick up the keys of hell and of death. Do you see that? He's dead already. They did not have to break his legs to make him die. He's already dead. You know what he said in John 10? I'm going to lay down my life. And you know what he did? He laid down his life. He gave it up. Matthew 27. Take a look. And Hebrews 9. Matthew 27 and Hebrews chapter 9. What about the supernatural phenomenon at the time of his death? You know, we've all known important people, great people, people we think are great, who died. I mean, President Kennedy, he was assassinated, and people's hearts were broken. But the sun didn't go dark. Think about that. When the best person you ever knew in this world, your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather, a child, when they died, the earth did not shake. The whole creation, though, had something to say when Jesus Christ laid down his life on that cross. The heavens revolted against the horror of that scene and turned out the lights. The earth said, oh no, we've been receiving dead bodies for centuries. But this man has no reason to be carried into the heart of the earth. The earth was all shook up at the very thought of the Son of God, the holy and righteous Son of God, being buried in its bowels. And the Bible says in Matthew 27, verse number 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now I'm going to speculate, and I always pray when I speculate. And I'm telling you in advance, I'm speculating. Now this is not one of my... This is just one of my peculiarities, though. But watch this. What did Jesus say that he would do? Take away the first, the old covenant, right? So that he could establish the second, okay, the new covenant. Under that old covenant, one man, once a year, goes inside the veil into the Holy of Holies to talk to God. One man, once a year. Nobody else was allowed to go in there, or else God would kill them. The high priest, he couldn't even go in there but once a year, or God would kill him. Okay, that's the Old Testament. Jesus is going to die on that cross so that anybody that wants to come to the Father by him can come anytime, any place, anywhere, any day of any week. as long as they live. Now listen, this is just what I believe. You don't have to agree with this. But the Bible says he cried, "It is finished." He dismissed his spirit. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. And the next thing you know, somebody's putting one hand on top of that veil and another hand on top of that veil and tearing that thing wide open. I just kind of personally believe that that's the first stop that the Lord made after his spirit left that cross. I think Jesus rent that veil. It's finished. And God said, "Yes, son, it's finished." Well, does that mean they can come to you now? Yes, son, they can come. Well, then let's get this out of the way. Rip! And I can go right in there into the presence of God Almighty now, thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to kill me. The blood has been presented, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All right, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 11. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, well, that's his body, that tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Having obtained eternal redemption for us, I think as he went by the table of showbread, he said, "Don't need you anymore." He went by the laver and he said, "Sorry, don't need you anymore." And he went by the candle, he said, "You can retire now." He tore that curtain. He went in there. He said, "Ah, holy of holies. This is what you've been waiting for. The precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Not the blood of bulls or goats. Not the blood of calves and rams and turtle doves. But his precious blood offered once for sins forever has satisfied the demands of a holy God. Amen. And we can live because he died. Matthew 27, I can walk right into the holy place. 1 Peter 2 says, I am part of a royal priesthood. And I can go any day of the year and fellowship with God Almighty through his precious, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Matthew 27, it gets kind of weird here. Verse 52. Matthew 27, 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves. Look, after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, you know, they didn't bury people over there, and they still don't, at least not in a 6-foot deep hole in the ground. Over there, you would have caves, if you will, and called a sepulcher in the rock. You would go into this opening in a mountain, and it would just open up into these hollow places. And over decades, over centuries even, they would bury people in those places until they were all full. And then they would seal the thing up permanently. And then they'd find them another sepulcher. You remember Lazarus, they had to roll the stone away so Lazarus could come forth. The Lord, he rends that veil, and I don't know if he did it or if the Holy Ghost did it, but all over the place, people, they're waking up in those sepulchers. You know, oh, man. What's going on, man? You know, I've been asleep for so long, for a really long time, and they're coming out of those graves. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, many saints which slept arose. And so for 3 days and three nights, they're having fellowship with each other. And they're saying, man, when did you die? Oh, I died 500 years ago. How about you? Oh, I died 50 years ago. Well, man, this is weird. What's going on? I don't know, but you know, when I died, I always believed that God would get me up from the dead one day. I believed he was going to send the Messiah one day and pay for our sins and get us up. He said, I don't know, maybe this is it. 3 days and three nights after his death, on his way back from taking care of business, the same Lord Jesus said, come on, fellas, let's shake them up. I mean, look what it says. I'm not making this stuff up. Look what the Bible says, verse 53, and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Woohoo! I mean, talk about Halloween, man. you talk about shaking people up. Now, listen, I don't know how this thing works. I wasn't there, believe me. I know Peter and James and John, when they saw Moses and Elijah on the mountain, they knew who they were. They were able to identify those guys. they probably had a name tag on their robe, I guess. Hello, my name is Elijah. I don't know how they knew, but you think about something. There's two fellows walking through Jerusalem. Man, you know, when they killed that guy, I thought we were finally rid of him. But did you hear the news out of the graveyard this morning? Boy, somebody went out there and said that the tomb was empty. And now people are running around saying Jesus arose from the dead. You know, he said he was going to do that. Well, you don't really believe that, do you? Oh, no, I don't believe it. But man, this is serious. What are we going to do? And then all of a sudden this guy walks up and, who are you? Who am I? Well, I'm Isaiah. In chapter 3, I wrote it down. I told you if you killed him, he's going to come up from the dead. You better believe it. Ah! You know, they ran away. I would have loved to have seen this scene. But now, am I making this up or is that the Bible? You know, the Bible says he came to conquer death. And not only did he conquer it, he sure enough proved it in the very city where he died by opening up those graves and letting people show the whole world not only is his tomb is empty, but, you know, mine's empty too. You know, somebody walked in the store. Somebody said, boy, you're dressed kind of funny. What is this, Old Timers Day? Old Timers nothing. This is my best suit. They buried me in it. Man, that suit's 300 years out of style. Well, that's when they buried me. Well, so what are you doing here? Jesus has arisen. Man, there must have been some strange things going on in that town. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and Psalm 68, when the Lord did ascend into heaven that morning, that he took those people with him. He led captivity captive. Okay. Now, why did he let them get up? Why did he let them walk around? Why did he let them show themselves? So he'd have just one more proof that the Christ who died for your sins did indeed conquer death. Amen. And arose from the dead. That's our God. Look at verse 54. I'll finish up with this. Matthew 27, verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, okay, this is 3 days later, they had time to think about this, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Amen. How about you? Can you say that today? Amen. Truly, this was the Son of God. Isn't it amazing that Christ would die for us? Isn't it wonderful that he did die for us? Now, I'm sorry for those of you who have lost loved ones, but you know, if they knew Jesus, you didn't lose them. I know right where they are because our Savior personally died to save them. And thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this reminder today of the gospel, the fact that our Lord loved us so much that he came to this earth, took on the body of a man, and that he might have some precious blood to shed on the cross, have his body broken for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins, to pay for our sins and to grant us forgiveness of those sins. Lord, we thank you that we can be sure that we are forgiven, that we're cleansed, that we can enter into the Holy of Holies, right up to the throne of God and be in your presence and just talk about whatever we want to talk about. Thank you, Lord, for making us part of that priesthood that can fellowship with you anytime we want to. And we pray, Lord, you'd help us to live lives that would show that we are grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.